Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and we've got all of our favorite guys here. It is time for our somewhat annual Audio Masters Roundtable, and we've got Cliff Zelman and Jordan Reynolds and Uncle Roy, and Andrew Feliciano is going to be joining us too, and we're going to have a great time. If you've got questions about home voiceover studio technology or just general stuff in the voiceover biz, these are the guys you want to ask. Right, George? Are we ready for this?
Oh, yeah. Biz is what we're here to talk about. And old Roy.
All right.
I'm the senior member of the group.
All right. Almost. Anyway, VoiceOver Body Shop, our Audio Masters Roundtable, right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, greetings there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Come on, get Jeff in there.
Okay, where's that button?
BS.
There you go. Close enough. Well, it's almost Thanksgiving, for crying out loud. And for those of you watching this next Friday, it already was, and you're probably out shopping or something like that. But tonight we're doing our Audio Masters Roundtable. And, you know, there are a lot of guys out there that say, oh, I know about home studios. Well, we've got four guys joining us tonight who are the experts when it comes to audio. More importantly, the audio you send out. And they're the ones that'll say, don't futz with it, guy. But let's introduce our guests and let's get into the meat of the matter. And if you have a question at any time, throw it in the chat room in either our Facebook chat or in YouTube. We have access to both. And Jeff Holman is taking those questions down. And I'm sure as we keep discussing things, you'll probably have some questions too and comments. And that's what we want to hear from all of you. So let me introduce our panel. Starting first with Cliff Zelman. Cliff, come on in here.
Hey, guys.
Hi,
howdy, Cliff. Howdy from Dallas, Texas.
All right. Cliff is Director of Talent Development at ACM Talent Automotive Division.
Yes, sir. It's going on 2 years. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of challenges, as we all have. And automotive was hit pretty hard. But the floodgates are starting to open up. I woke up this morning to... 15 of them, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, great to be here, and haven't seen you guys in a long time, so yeah, I'm thrilled.
We miss you. Joining us from Bloomfield, New Jersey, is the one and only Uncle Roy Yokelson. Uncle Roy, how you doing today?
Home of the VOBBQ.
Yeah.
All our listeners are invited next October 8th and 9th. It's going to be a mob scene because the borders will be open and half of Canada will be here and Armin will be singing and Hugh Edwards will be playing drums. It's going to be great. And Dan and George can sleep in the attic like they did a couple of years ago. Here, we're all ready for Thanksgiving. And there you have it.
Yeah. Uncle Roy is a voiceover coach, producer of demos at Killer Demos and a home studio expert at Antland Productions. And show it again. And an Emmy Award winning sound designer.
Right. And I only have one voice arts award, so I'm trying to catch up to Jay Michael.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
How much are those Emmy Awards going for on eBay these days, Uncle Roy?
I know. Once I got Val Kelly's Mavo Award, I said, hey, anybody want to buy a slightly used Emmy? Because I don't need it anymore. I got this.
That's a much better
one. That's a nice one.
Yeah, that's not one of those one in a million shot doc things you want. Let's see here. Joining us from just across town is voice actor, audio ninja, celebrity impressionist, and demo producer, Jordan Reynolds. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, once again. What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's
been so long.
It has been. Yeah, and you're just down the street for crying.
I know. But it would probably take me an hour to get there anyway in good old rush hour traffic. But
yeah,
it's just I am here on a camera.
Okay. All right.
I'm excited.
And joining us also from Burbank, actually it's Studio City, from Voice Tracks West, is Andrew Feliciano. Andrew, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be here. Glad to be joining the crew.
Absolutely. Andrew is the owner and general manager and I guess the receptionist at Voice Tracks West.
Makes good coffee too.
Yeah. Yes. All of that. I do
and
it
the tech.
All. Engineer, been an engineer 20 years and, keep the wheels turning here at Voice Tracks
West. I like
your
prison outfit. That's really cool.
Oh, isn't it good?
Yeah, let you out?
I went and I'm in my cell.
Aren't we all?
My colorful cell.
Hey, they gave you two colors.
Yes, that's true.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get into the meat of the matter here. You're all experts on voiceover audio, which by the way, don't confuse it with recording music, which I find a lot of people are doing, you know, and I'm sure as you're talking to a lot of our clients out there we're trying to help them get their audio better, they're all stuck on, well, I got to have this piece of equipment. I got to have that piece of equipment because that's going to make me read better. I don't quite get that. But let's go around the horn here. Is there any new tech that you're really thrilled about that could actually help your average voice actor? Let's start with Andrew, because you're new, you get to go first.
I wonder if this, I don't know if this is new tech and I haven't tried it yet. I think George might be interested in this.
That would qualify as new then.
This is new. I'm about to test a tiny air conditioning unit for a booth we have here. It's called the Zero Breeze. It's aimed at like camping or small rooms and things like that. And it's this big, and it's a proper air conditioning unit for a small room. And we have a small booth here that actors come use that's kind of like a home studio booth. And I'm going to try cooling that booth with this small AC unit. So more to come on that. I don't have results on it yet. But
are you going to pipe it, or will it be sitting inside the booth?
Outside the booth, just to keep quiet. So the trick is, can you sit it on top of the booth with some isolation and you won't hear it inside the booth? I'm not sure. So that's
where's the technology
testing
in this thing? Is it a swamp cooler? Is it using
it's a standard compressor air conditioning unit. And actually does. I mean, they've actually said it's like, oh, turn it around and use it as a heater, and just just reverse the pipes of what you're putting into the.
Do you have to exhaust space out of a window or?
Yeah. So there's three. There's the intake and then the cool air and then the hot air that it blows out. So, so it's kind of like a proper unit, just really tiny.
I'm sure collectively we cannot express the importance of proper ventilation in a booth, We hear people, I'm sweating. I've been in for 10 minutes. I'm sweating. That's not a way to run a business.
It's expensive. So it would be a luxury item. It's about $1,000. So it's certainly not, so you're spending a lot of time in your booth and it'd be worth the money to do it. And then even if you hook up your house AC, which I'm sure some people do, and we have that here, but then you're running like a giant, huge BTUs to cool a tiny little room. So anyway, that's a new piece of tech that, I'm kind of excited about right now.
Yeah.
Great. We opened the door to the booth to cool it down.
Oh yeah. You just got to keep doing this with your door. There we go. That's there. Anyway, Jordan, what's new on your radar for tech?
Honestly, with everyone having to work from, well, I mean, there was already plenty of us who were fortunate enough to work from home, right? That when the pandemic hit as voice actors, we like, if you built your career in a non-major market, you're like, oh, I have to have a home studio. So, to make a living. So we were ready to go there, but there's a lot of local LA voice actors who are not so much, and they freaked out. Yeah. But what comes with home recording is environment, right? Like you have not only our acoustics and all that, you have to deal with how does your voice sound in a space, but the noise that gets into your space can vary. There's people living in apartments, and then especially during quarantine, everyone is like in their house, in the apartment, everyone's making noise with their AC, their fridge. So I've been really digging through not everything, but a lot of noise removal tools. But what the thing I'm most excited about over the past 2 years is live noise removal. So not just like, oh, let's remove the noise after I've recorded it, but I can do it live now. And I literally have it on right now on my mic. I'm using the UAD plugin. It's a horrible name. C-Suite C-Vox.
Cedar.
What's that?
I think it's from Cedar, C-E-D-A-R. I think
oh, did they like buy the rights from it? Because I don't even see Cedar written on this plugin. It is. Yeah. Yeah, tiny letters, designed by Cedar.
Yeah.
You're right. But anyway, so I'm running that live right now. So because I have AC on and
that'd
stuff.
Be good for a Source Connect session then.
Yeah. And it's got two simple knobs, but I have to say, I haven't done an A-B test yet, but I think it might be better than Isotope voice denoise. Like you can really push it hard without getting as many artifacts of when you push voice denoise hard. I love that plugin, but this one as a live plugin is just, it's insane. Like it is incredibly transparent. I can't remember the mic model, but there is a mic that actually has noise removal built into it. I want to test it. I don't know how good it is for voiceover, but if anyone remembers the name of that mic,
yeah,
in the chat.
Excellent. All right.
Did you get one, George?
How much is it?
The shelf somewhere.
It's on the shelf.
How much somewhere. Is it, George?
$300. Yeah, $350.
It has Bruce Free denoiser in it.
Oh, the mic. I don't know how much the mic is, but the plugin that I'm talking about you have to have a UAD Apollo audio interface, otherwise you cannot use it. But you can either use it live, like I'm using it now, or run it as a plugin afterwards on your audio. And
does it render or is it bucks? And you can actually render it and save it.
You run it in your console and live in your console, like
you can use it as a plugin after the fact though.
That too. Yes. You have both options.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Cool.
And Uncle Roy. Yeah. What's new on your radar with tech?
No, I just wanted to comment on the, we're not recording music comment that George made before, or Dan. You call Sweetwater. They're not really in the voiceover business, but they think they are. And maybe they're growing to be, or you go to Guitar Center or, you know, Banjo Emporium, whatever you guys call it. and they want to sell you a microphone. They want to sell you like a Rode NT1A because they have a lot left over because nobody wants them. So you have to be careful. Yeah, my Sweetwater guy, he really knows. Well, he's not in the trenches like we are. You know, some of us have been doing this for 45 years, right, Cliff?
That is true, brother.
That's right. Between the two of us, we can hear in stereo.
That's right. Your left ear, my right ear, we're in great shape. Yeah.
So just be careful. I do like the Isotope plugins. I bought RX9 just because, not that 9 is better than 8, better 6, better than, you know, it's as far as the standard one, I think it's the same as 6, 7, 8. I think they're all the same. But I needed the advanced for film work, clothes rustling and wind, and it has other tools like that. So I like the RX. I like the Isotope products. They're having their Black Friday stuff now. And what I don't like about, I like Waves, but they only give you one license. You have to juggle it.
Between iLock.
Yeah. iLock or release it to the cloud, pick it up on your other. Isotope, I've got it on 5 computers. Yeah. They don't care.
Like fab filters.
Yeah. And as long as it's me. So I like the Isotope stuff. Like we all do.
Oh, yeah.
Cliffy, what about you?
Well, two things, and they're both hardware. One of them is the SSL6, which is an interface. It has the SSL high and low EQs. It has a selectable bell. So it's basically a graphic, and you can kick in the bell to, you know, affect the neighboring frequencies. It has a built-in G-bus on the output. So that's very, very cool.
That's very cool.
I love SSL products, and it's kind of expensive. It's about $1,300-$1,400. I don't know how good it is for maybe podcasting, but as far as just, you know, getting your stuff to sound great, of course, after your environment, I'm really excited about it. And to sit behind a little mini SSL, I used to sit behind the 96 input SSLs, and to have this little one, it's got the same colored knobs. So it's very sexy. The second thing that I got excited about is the UA Volt. And one of the reasons I got excited about that is they have incorporated the old UREI 610 preamps. And for those old guys, we know that those 610 preamps are pretty hot. They sound really good. It also has, they have a version that has a built-in, they call it the 76, but it's actually an emulation of the URI 1176. My only question about it is it's got a preset 6:1 compression ratio. So that means a little, you know, a little bit of gain, and you can get an awful lot of compression. So you kind of got to be careful about that. But it also has four selectable attack times and release times to incredibly fast, which could help with sibilance, or slow, which could make your sibilance worse.
Cliff, but who do you think would want a 6:1 compression ratio?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. When I'm doing voiceover, I never go more than 2:1 or 3:1. You know,
yeah. 3:1 to me is like hard sell.
It's pretty hard. And if you're really hitting that mic pre and you're really triggering that 6:1, it's gonna sound like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I think that, you know, they know what they're doing. So, you know, you'll find that sweet spot. And I think it could be neat, but that SSL, I mean, I just might get one. Just
could be like the MSG of processing.
Yeah, just
you just need a micro grind.
Otherwise, you're running around the Chinese restaurant 3.5 hours,
and it's going to give you a headache. So yeah.
Does the SSL have the producer eject button like the big console group did?
Oh no, but you can put it in. I think you can just unscrew
it's
one
an accessory.
Yeah, the producer defeat knob. You know, when you think it sound needs just that little extra, hit that button. Yeah. That was the, you know, the quad speaker button that was long disconnected. Yeah. Now yes. Oh yeah,
there we go.
Now we got the mix. But yeah. I really like those two. I think Yuri stuff's great. You know, and it's cheap. It's like $350.
Right.
But save your receipt, because it may be a little bit hardcore for the just the everyday VO person to hit it too hard. I really want to hear what that 6:1.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's where I want to gravitate to next here is that, you know, we're all getting audio from people, especially if you're producing and you're getting home studio audio. What are the biggest mistakes or the biggest problems that each one of you are experiencing when somebody sends you some audio for production? Cliff?
Environment. Number one mistake.
Thank you very much. Number one mistake
is, you know, we see all the mics that you're using. They're all great. You know, we see that was my dog, by the way, not me. we see, you know, all the everything that they've got, all the hardware and stuff, which is real easy to get. You go to Banjo Emporium, you lay down your credit card, you can have anything you want. Sweetwater, 2 years, no interest. You can have whatever you want. But really what I hear more than anything is going on, you know, that 200, 300
ceiling fan.
No, just the sympathetic frequencies within the booth or within their environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start cutting that stuff out, try to get a little transparency. But I really think my biggest pet peeve is too low, recording too low. And just pardon my French. We're all adults here. I'm going to say it, a shitty environment. You know?
Yeah. I think there's no question. I think people don't really understand what the environment is supposed to sound like. Yeah. A lot of the people who are just getting into voiceover have no experience at recording, and they're like, well, microphone, record. Oh, okay. But that's not the way it is. And then they go on YouTube, and it's like, well, here's how you build a booth, and here's, you know, get a, you know, all these panels and spend $10,000 and do this and, you know, and then pray that you continue doing voiceover.
And one of the big misconceptions is when they're setting their recording level, if they send in audio and you tell them, well, your noise floor is too high and the file looks like this. And I said, well, you have to raise your gain. Yeah, but then the noise comes up. Okay, it's the same. You know, it's called signal to noise ratio. The ratio doesn't change. No. So there's that low volume pet peeve. Mm-hmm. The other pet peeve, I'm so in love with my voice. I'm wearing headphones, and you can tell that I'm talking to a microphone for my. I love it. I love it. So when that's I hear audio,
cool, Uncle Roy,
what's that?
That sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, that's my $89 killer bee mic, worker bee. But that sounds like the guy who did your intro, and you could just see the ends of every phrase was ramped up. You know, no offense to whoever did that.
That was John Bailey, by the way.
Yeah, well, he was having fun doing that.
That's why we had him do it.
Yeah, on purpose. But when you send me a sample that sounds like that, and you're wearing headphones that are too loud, so you're only speaking quiet, or they're too low, and you're shouting because you can't hear yourself in the headphones. I said, so you're going to yell at me now? You couldn't hear yourself in the headphone? Turn up your headphone game. Right? Yeah. Everybody, hello.
Well, we try to teach people proper mic technique here, and then that's why people keep coming back every week.
And did you change, hey, George, did you change this to something? Is this now where you do 4 inches instead now? You're still good with this, right?
You're muted there, George.
Well, because he's not saying anything.
Oh, okay. Now, I've broken it down into... There you go. Yeah. See, I've broken it down into thumbs up, a fist for if you're in a small one, and mahalo if you're in a larger room. Right. So that seems to work for me.
Yeah.
Andrew, what? Yep. I mean, you run Voice Tracks West, and I'm sure you get lots of audio from people from the outside that you've got to mix into projects. What are some of the really stupid things you see?
They're listening.
A lot of our stuff is live, right? We'll do live sessions with people from home, you know, Source Connect, or even now, you know, they're during the pandemic, it was, you know, they're doing a session and, Source Connect or even some of the other services would just get hammered. And so, you know, some things moved to where we were recording the Zoom while they were recording locally. And then we would take notes and match it up later so we could get their raw audio and not have to like deal with the dropouts, even with like Source Connect Now or something like that. So related to that is then could we get room tone? And so you get some room tone that has a little... Yeah, so a little room tone with some breathing in it,
room tone plus.
Yeah, or this was a good one. There was a room tone. Let me do that. Make sure you leave the room, because of that. And then so I kind of heard it. Got it after the fact. You know, left the room, closed the door, was talking to his friend in the room, used the bathroom, heard the toilet flush. Just because the booths are, you know, it kept stuff out, but that, you know, that sort of murmuring is sort of there. And so that was also not quite room. There's enough in there to kind of make it work. But so just not realizing that, room tone is really just silence, you know, just the sound of the room without you breathing. And just kind of not realizing how much gets picked up, when you are just sitting there or even just outside the booth. And it's can be kind of comical.
Or when people send me a sample and I say room tone followed by a 30-second read in all in one file, and they send me room tone from a month ago that they've normalized that they
normalized room tone,
you know, and then they stick it on, or they send me a separate thing. Here's my room tone. I need it with the day you recorded it. I need the same recording session.
It's very where I did a lot of done a lot of location recording, and you're sitting there with the Niagara and they're ready to rap, and you stand up on your chair and you scream at the top of your lung,
quiet,
1 minute, you know, 1 minute tone. Everybody's just sitting there listening, you know, but it's really, really, really important.
1 minute,
Uncle Roy. Why can't?
Oh yeah.
1 minute. Are you lucky? Yeah. You know how lucky you are to get 1 minute. I would get maybe 10
these
seconds.
Are all union guys on the set. They better shut up. They know when they see room
time. What are you saying, Jordan?
For those who may not know, what can you explain to the audience why it's so important? Because for voice actors, that like room tone to them might just be, oh, it's my slate. And some people just, they have a slate file they put in all their auditions. And when they're asked to do room tone, they might think the same thing. Can you explain to them why it's important to do a fresh room tone with that exact recording?
With every recording, if you're doing an audio book, you can do it wrong, but you want the room tone associated with the recording of that chapter. If you're going to be pasting in room tone, you don't want to hear a difference in level.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're going to put a high pass filter. If you're going to do a little bit of noise reduction, it has to, the sample that you put in of the noise for the noise reduction has to be the sample that's going, you want to take out the same room tone or the same noise that's under your dialogue that same day. So you need that room tone has to be the same day, same time as that recording.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how many times, you know, people send me samples. And again, yeah, they send room tone and I'm like, just hit record. Don't talk for 10 seconds, read something and hold then don't breath. Talk for 10 seconds. Yeah, exactly. And you can see, no, well, that was edited. Guys, we know, we can see things that you don't understand. And so don't try to fool us because it doesn't really matter because it's what your audio is going to sound like.
There was a Facebook post. Somebody said, just record, be quiet, record 20 seconds in your room and then play it back really loud. And can you hear? No, that's not how we, I didn't address it. It was the stupidest comment.
Somebody wanted to post room tone and put it in their website to say, this is an example of how quiet my room is. I said, why bother? The person that's going to be listening is going to be probably louder. Their system that they're listening is going to be louder than your room tone.
I guess that could be useful for an engineer, like if you could download it. I don't know, but yeah, not really.
But within the sample. Yeah. Otherwise, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
You need the signal and you need the noise.
Yeah.
Signal, noise.
In the same recording.
Right. Yes. And what is signal? Signal is your voice. Noise is
everything
that's not your voice. So in case you were wondering, once again, we're doing our somewhat annual Audio Masters Roundtable. We've got Andrew Feliciano, Jordan Reynolds, Cliff Zelman, and Uncle Roy joining George and I.
Thanksgiving tonight. Edition.
Thanks. Yeah, that's right.
There.
Everybody have a super great Thanksgiving. We'll get that chance to talk about that again too. So let Jordan, did you get in there and give us your major mistake people make?
Oh man, probably. I mean, I already agree with like its environment is first and foremost.
Fabulous.
Mic distance, which I love what you said, Dan. You're like bigger room, hang loose. Small room, fist, and what was the other one? One thumb, if
thumbs up. It's so
I mean, like
it's
a medium room.
yeah,
okay. It is now.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that's the biggest thing is because with more and more people recording from home than ever, the hang loose distance, which you know, it first of all, it varies. Like you know, like if you take a 6'4" dude versus a 5 foot tall woman. This distance is going to be dramatically different. So I've never loved this as like, just do this because they might be up here if they have very tiny hands. But that makes a huge difference from either this traditionally could be, about 6 to 8 inches, but just getting in that 4 to 6 inch range makes a world of a difference in so many recordings when I'm consulting with talent to make the studio sound better. Yeah. But the other thing
that range. In that 4 to 6 range. You start moving proximity, it's almost impossible to match.
Not only that, the angle, because voiceover people think their job is to talk into a microphone, but we have to have it off at 30 to 45 degree angle. So your plosives go this way and the mic finds you this way.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
I don't hear a plosive.
I don't use a pop screen. I mean, that's the other thing. Everybody uses pop screens.
I have no pop screen.
You know, and the fact is I tend to think that it's a psychological thing that it reminds people they're on a microphone and they have to therefore have to talk louder. So, you know, I like having it so it's here and it's out of my field of vision and I forget that it's there. It's like playing, you don't play to the camera if you're doing a scene with other people unless you're doing a Tide commercial or something like that.
in the studio environment, we use the pop filter a little bit as a placement mechanism almost. You know, well, we can place something kind of farther away if we think we need to. And
then use
kind
a of, disc. You know, nylon disc. Use a nylon disc.
You know, traditionally we would use the double ones, but we've been using metal the last couple of years.
But I mean,
wipe them down. But yeah,
separate from the microphone.
Separate from the microphone. Yeah, yeah. Or I mean, it's like essentially,
right.
You know, this guy right here. So and it depends on who the person is, right? If they're a novice, it's like a tool. If they're a pro, you know, you could place the mic anywhere and they place themselves. But but yeah. Anyway, so in a studio environment, that's, you know, it can be useful for that.
Yeah. Once again, if you've got a question, throw it in one of the chat rooms that you may be associated with, whether you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, or you're catching the smoke signals coming over the top of the hill, ask your questions. We're going to get into some of your questions, and there's some great ones already that I see. And we're going to take a quick break on our Audio Masters Roundtable, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching Voice Over Body Shop. It's great.
Ah, that Thanksgiving dinner. And now that you've slept off that meal, it's time to go shopping for voiceover stuff at voiceoveressentials.com. They've cut the gimmicks and have put on sale just the products their customers love and buy the most. VoiceOverEssentials.com guarantees these are their best prices through the end of Black Friday weekend. Their Portabooth Pro 6.0, the premier desktop vocal booth. The Portabooth Pro is the first portable vocal booth made for professional voice performers. The Portabooth Plus, the real carry-on vocal booth. You can actually carry on. Harlan Hogan's Signature Series voice-optimized headphones. These studio monitoring headphones optimized for voice work, now even better. And the multicolor LED voiceover recording sign. Not just a stock on-the-air or recording sign, it's their exclusive voiceover recording sign. Sign up for their mailing list at the bottom of every page and never miss a deal at voiceoveressentials.com.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey there, it's David H. Lawrence the 17th. One of the things that I am most thankful for is a guy by the name of Patrick Tucker. Who's that? He wrote Secrets of Screen Acting. And it's a book that changed my life, both as an on-camera talent and as a voiceover talent. I had a chance to do a podcast with him, 300 episodes of a podcast that will add to your knowledge base like crazy, whether you're doing on camera, voiceover, or both. It usually sells for $279, but for the next week and a half or so, it's yours for $149. So that's nearly 50% off, but I'm going to sweeten the deal. I'm going to give you the actual book, Secrets of Screen Acting, and the audiobook for Secrets of Screen Acting. All of those things will benefit both your on-camera work if you do that, and certainly your voice work if that's all you do. Go to voheroes.com/cyber. That's voheroes.com/cyber. It's a limited time offer. Do so soon, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're back at VOBS for our Thanksgiving week Audio Masters Roundtable with Uncle Roy, Andrew, Jordan, Cliff, and George and I. Anyway, George, you had a question you wanted to ask about that we wanted to talk about a new computer. You want to fire that one out there?
Oh, yeah. This is always a discussion, but I just saw it come up today again. So I thought I'd pose it here. When you guys buy a new computer, do you go for broke? Do you max that sucker out? the most memory you can afford, the most, you know, storage, everything, to maximize its life over as long a period as possible? Or do you find that, you know, nowadays, just a little upgrade from the base model is really all you need and you're going to be fine? And again, I'm going to ask this question from the context of what a voice actor would need to know versus a producer running 178 tracks of virtual instruments.
Yeah. Who wants to take that one on first?
I will. I'll jump in. I think any Mac, as is, right out of the box, is going to be more than enough than you need. Working 2, 3, 4 tracks. As far as storage goes, you know, working storage is good, but I mean, good Lord, you guys, y'all can buy terabyte drives for $100 now, you know, so storage shouldn't really be that much of an issue. When I buy a computer, I try to get the best that I can afford, but you know, I got no problem locking up 9 terabytes in my system right now, but you know, I really think that any Mac out of the box is going to be fine for you.
Anybody else want to take that one on?
Well, I would say, and most people know I'm mostly a PC guy, although I do have my lovely MacBook Pro 2015 over here running Big Sur.
Great unit.
Runs like a top.
Mm-hmm.
16 gigs of RAM is enough. But you need storage if you're going to save everything, or if you're doing big projects like audiobooks or e-learning, that if you want to save the WAV file and the MP3, it's going to eat up some space. I think the new minimum would be 16 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. Eight used to be the minimum. 16. If you can afford 32, go for it. It's going to run so much smoother, faster, and you only want solid state drives, SSD. A terabyte is good. 500 might be enough if you have then another external, you know, if you have another terabyte or a 4 terabyte, you know, they are pretty cheap now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but PC, Mac, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's what you were raised on.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, why do we recommend Macs? One, you know, to me, it's always like you plug it in and it works.
It's easier. I hate to say it. I love PCs. That's my preferred platform.
Mm-hmm.
But the troubleshooting, I'm sure George can go on and on about this too. The troubleshooting with PCs is just, it's unpredictable. It can be amazing and just work, or it can be, I don't know what's happening. And the Macs just seem to work. And I say that as a voice actor at home, it only comes up if you're just recording. It's fine, but it comes up when you're doing Zoom, Skype, Source Connect, recording, like different things at the same time. Then it's, then that just Macs, I've found, are just easier, even though I myself will use a PC.
They recognize things instantly. I've got a Yamaha Agios 6 that I use. I plug it in, no drivers, nothing. Comes up on my list of choices. There it is. Mac knows it's there. You know, the software's in the unit itself. It tells them what the Mac is and it works perfectly.
I wish Apple would just quit reinventing and, you know, releasing new OS. Now you got the M1. Okay, we're working through the, you got to put Rosetta to make uh-huh. RX work and all those workarounds. Why don't they test these things first? And, you know, in a blink of an eye, they're going to release the next version. And what else are they going to take away? Or somebody told me they put back the Ethernet port on a new Mac or something like that. So quit taking stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
We need USB ports. We yes. need Ethernet. But they want to sell you adapters.
Yep.
That's their new business. So
the dongle company.
Yeah.
Question for George, because you probably you've worked with more PC users than I have. Is it, at least back in Windows 7, and I think it's still in Windows 10, has it gotten any better? And I wonder if Windows 11 addresses it. But if you wanted to, for example, have Zoom use your Focusrite Scarlett as your mic, and then also record yourself in Reaper at the same time, it would not let you do that, right? Or does it now, without freaking out? And be like, no, you must pick one app at one time, where Max doesn't care. You can record on 5 different things at the same time.
Yeah.
Do PCs still have that problem?
I think Andrew's a better one to answer.
Yes. So the problem really is that Apple invested in this core audio thing, which is just how they do audio, right? And it's sort of it's sort of the master of all things audio. PCs have their own kind of thing, but the pro audio version of that is this ASIO. And yeah. ASIO is single channel. It's not multi. No, that's not. No, multi. What is it? Multi.
Red.
Like the two things can use it at once. I'm not the word.
Yeah,
not
I know what you're talking about.
But so that really is the problem, that you use sort of like the Scarlett is a pro thing. And it's gonna, you're gonna use ASIO, or you're gonna use a piece of software that's ASIO, and then nothing else can use that because of the ASIO does not support multiple devices using a driver. And so either ASIO needs to fix that, which they should, or Windows needs to fix it and build their own, like, you know, complete audio support system.
What about WDM drivers? Because that's an alternative.
It is, except like Pro Tools can't use WDM. You know, Pro Tools has to use that, or Source Connect.
Source Connect can't use it. All right.
Yeah, Source Connect can't use it either. So, that's what for me. It's like. Can I make it work? Can Roy make it work? Can George or you? Yes, like we can make it work. Multiple devices, virtual audio devices, you can, but on the Mac, it's just sort of, just plug it in, connect Zoom, Skype, Twisted Wave, and Pro Tools all at the same time and go for it.
There is an app for the PC called, it's the funniest name ever, Voice Meter Banana.
That's great. That's a workaround. Virtual devices. And
it's like Soundflower work. For that,
that can work as well.
I'm
telling you, anytime there's a virtual sound driver layer between the actor and their DAW, it's a friggin' disaster, man.
Yeah, it is.
I suggest using it for like Zoom, and not Source Connect, but like Zoom, sure. Or thing, because there's so many, like as a voice actor, that so many of my sessions are like, a lot of them are just Zoom now. Mm-hmm.
You're recording on your end.
Yep, I record on my end. I have a few clients who still dial me on my phone patch, which is virtual. I just have a Skype phone number. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and then of course, plenty of people record me on Source Connect. But
when was the last time anybody did an IPDTL session?
With me?
Anybody. Yeah. Anybody on this panel.
I have one client that does it, and it's like once or twice a year, but I canceled my account. It's a great product, but.
Yeah, I thought it was a great product.
But I know a lot of talent who use it regularly. They're like, "Oh, I have all my clients." I'm like, it's all over the map.
There's also connection open, and I think the only downside of that is not enough people have it, and not enough clients have it, and not enough studios have it. But Randy Morrison will work with the studios and, you know, get them some free stuff, free licenses for a while, let them spread the word, and let the voiceover people. Because you don't have to be hardwired. Nothing wrong with being hardwired to your router. You should be, but it also works on Wi-Fi. It works. It doesn't need as much TLC, and theoretically, it's better quality.
But I can jump in on sort of what Open
and
Connection
zero
is
and latency,
why
according and, to and, Randy. Go ahead.
And why Andrew? It's great is that it's closer to Source Connect, like the audio quality is closer to Source Connect, but the user at the other end doesn't need to have an account or have to purchase Source Connect. Like the studio or the person wanting to hire them or use them can send them a link to sort of go into a session. And so then it's like of Source Connect, but without having to buy it, versus Source Connect now, where the quality is, or IPDTL, where the quality is like, miles may vary. But it's very easy.
Part of the initial appeal was the very, very, very low latency that musicians can theoretically play together in real time at the same time.
It's just a theory, though.
Yeah.
It does not work. Categorically doesn't work.
Put Randy on your show, and we'll see.
We have.
Okay.
How many times have we had Randy on the show?
He's a good guy.
Yes.
No, he's a good guy, but I mean, there are inherent latencies in using internet. There's a quality of service issue. You have no control over that.
Unless we live in a superconductor world.
You can do it on a LAN.
Everything has latency.
You can do it on LAN. Like if the on the hall. Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
2 millisecond, 1 millisecond latency all day. Right, would be awesome. Right. But over the internet, over switches and nodes and peering and all that crap, it just doesn't work.
We had a client last week who was like, well, I'm talking to somebody in Santiago, Chile, and I'm here in LA, and there's a 10-second latency. Can you fix that?
No.
Well, that's when we call Robert Marshall over at Source Connect and figure that stuff out. Here's a question. Paul Stefano has a great question here, and I think this is something that will make a very good discussion. He says, when a studio casting agent sends an audition that says TLM 103 preferred or similar, are they really turning people away who don't use that model? I mean, I tend to find that, well, I know, yeah, they want everybody to sound similar, but every voice is different. Every room is different. And I would imagine that most engineers can't really tell what microphone somebody's using unless it really sucks. And that they can, if it's close, that, you know, they can, you can generally match it. Andrew, I want to start with you on that because I know what we use over at BTW. But
yeah. So my opinion is specifically that it's not about the mic. It communicates you've sort of invested in your voiceover career. It's just that it could be anything. And so all of us here see TLM-103 and it's like, great, you're good. You know, your room may not be good, but at least that's one thing that you've sort of done. And it could be other mics, right, that we'll recognize. And so I think the wording of it could just be better, right? Yeah. That they're calling that mic out, I think is a little, maybe a little silly. But just what it communicates of what you've sort of invested in. And you're, it's like, you've done this. You're not sort of brand new. And that may or may not matter. Obviously, you can do other things, right, to kind of like research someone or, you know, see what they are. But I don't know. I feel like that's the intent, is to communicate, you know, what someone has invested or where they're at as a voiceover talent.
I think it's kind of like a code word. You know, if somebody replies, well, what's a 103? it's showing a minimal amount of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, you got to be as good as this or better.
What if the mic they actually do have is better than the 103?
Then, or better. 103 or better.
What the hell is better?
I
can give you a list.
In theory.
That was a loaded question.
How do you define what is better?
One at a time. Jordan, what did you say?
No, I was just being, I'm like, how do you define what is better? Audio is subjective at the end of the day, right? So that's exactly. All I'm saying. Right?
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the fascinating thing about it. Like I said, every voice is different. Every room is different. So, you know, what does it really matter? The idea is not to sound fantastic. If you're a good voice actor, you already sound fantastic. It's capturing you as you exist. And a better microphone is going to do that. But a better microphone is also going to reveal all of the faults in your physical environment. So, you know, for when it comes to just basic voiceover, whether you're doing auditions or whether you're doing all this other stuff, I think it's important that people, as we said earlier on, your environment is so much more important than the rest of it.
I think when the pandemic started and everybody, it was more important for everybody's home studio to be, you know, broadcast quality. The memo went out.
Yeah.
Source Connect and Neumann 103 and all this. I like a 102. It's almost half the price. And I, you know, some people send me a 103 and I said, it's a good mic, but not everybody sounds great on it.
It could be
their voice, just it's not a good match or the environment. So, the memo came, they heard.
Yeah.
They were told. It's not that they can hear the difference. They were told, you say 103 and raw. And only raw. Tell them 100% raw.
Oh, and the new one, which we can talk about, is RMS between -18
and
-20, peaks at -3 with
that.
No compression and no.
Right. Limit. So they send me these tiny files. I normalized it to -20. No, that's not what they mean.
We should have a whole class on root mean square. We could.
Mm-hmm. Right. They said, what is RMS? Root mean square.
Yeah.
That's as far as I go.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated algebra.
Average.
Anyway, we got lots of room for more questions because we're going to carry on in the second hour with Tech Talk. So if you got more questions, throw them in the chat rooms and Jeff Holman will get those to us. Phyllis Fort asks, what do you think about fake Ethernet? Does it really work with Source Connect? What is she talking about?
Fake Ethernet.
I've never heard of it.
Maybe
I've never, ever heard it referred to that. I've heard of power line Ethernet adapters.
Ah,
that's what she's referring to.
Oh, probably.
That you plug into your wall.
Yeah, I installed them a lot, many, many times.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ethernet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave G asks from YouTube, sort of similar to what the question that Paul asked about, says, I got to throw this at the panel. Does a voiceover really need a Neumann or a 416 or 416? I mean, if it sounds good, it is good, right, George?
Yeah, if, as long as you're getting paid to do that gig, it must sound pretty good.
There's hundreds of microphones. I mean, a Lewitt is fabulous. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be.
That's what I'm saying.
A Neumann or a 416. I love a 416 myself, and I love to record demos and spots on when the talent has 416. But
here's an idea, right?
Listen to a sample.
I'm going
to
run with this one. Sure. Sell sleeves for your fill in the blank other condenser that slide over, and it's a Neumann U87. So when you've been lying that you have a U87 for the last 17 years, and now they have to make you be on Zoom, now you don't have to go buy a U87.
Just put a put a sticky note on it. U87.
No, great idea. Faux mics.
Slide it over your MXL990. Yeah. See if anybody notices the difference.
Just, you know, just tell them if it's a front address or a side. That's a great idea. Faux mic. You know, you've been telling people.
Well, I mean, so the ultimate faux mic is the, and several of you guys know this mic, the Townsend Labs Sphere L22. Joe, I know Jordan likes this mic.
That's why they call it mic modeling, because they're modeling. They're putting on their outfit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I bought one for a client last year because U87s were just not in stock.
Mm-hmm.
It was half the price, and the client was happy, and the rest is history.
Go on Reverb, and you'll find one.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew, you got any thoughts on that? Because we, you know, I know you use the 416s over at TD, Voice Tracks West. And, yeah. But does it really matter? You know, I tend to think that people really over obsess about this. I got to have this fantastic mic. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm not honestly kind of what everyone was saying. It's like, I don't really care. Like, it's, you know, but it is somewhat what it communicates. Does it sound good? Like, does it come across? Does it sound good? And that ultimately is all that matters. You know, some of the other things you think about with these mics is, are the TLM that we have here, I think Voice Tracks West bought it in 1990. I just got it serviced. Like it was sounding a little dark to us, and we went and got it cleaned, and it sort of brightened it up. It's a little, TLM 103 is a little dark anyway, but like it brightened it up a little bit. And that, you know, in MXL 990 or what's that one that, you know, that's like $100 that you like, George, can you fix that? Can you repair it? Maybe. Like, can you take it to the repair guy and have him clean it? Is it worth it to have him for $50 do that? You know, so there's something, there's features in these mics, right, that you get for spending the extra money. And if that sounds good and works for you, that's great too. So sometimes that's just like a decision, you know, of like, you know, where you're at and what you want to spend and how long you want to have it. And
yeah. See, I find that if you're talking to one of the sales reps at one of the mail order places, what we used to call mail order places, don't tell them what you want the mic for, because they will try to sell you the most expensive thing. And, it's usually they have no idea what they're talking about. They just want the, oh yeah, you need a U87 or you need this, you know, the TLM 49 or whatever, because we just happen to have them.
I mean, in the Sugarland catalog, an SM7 is good for ADR and voiceover. So that's all I'm saying.
Go figure. All righty. Well, we're going to take another break here, and we got lots more questions we're going to fill in during Tech Talk, so stay tuned for that. We'll be right back with a little bit more of our Audio Masters Roundtable. Don't go away quite yet. Lots to come.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources, like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Well, it's time to talk about Source Connect, which we already have, right? I mean, we've already been talking about Source Connect on the show tonight because, well, it comes up in practically every single conversation about recording voiceover from a home studio, because this is what the pros use. It's plain and simple. There are other tools out there. Some of them are being, you know, getting some traction in the pro production world. But the problem is they just, well, they're 15 years behind. Source Connect has been around a very, very long time. The technology has been adopted and adapted into the production workflow by producers the world around. It's a plugin directly into their DAW, into Pro Tools, or whatever they happen to use. It's a workflow thing, everybody. And that's why Source Connect is still and shall be for probably a while king when it comes to remote recording. So you want to have it in your toolbox. Now, what does that mean? Do you have to buy it? Do you have to lease it? Do you have to rent it? Really, actually, none of the above at first. You really just want to get the system set up. You want to get the account. You want to get logged in. You want to go through the process of getting it up and running. There's lots of tutorials, including on my own website at georgethe.tech. And you can get yourself oriented with it so you understand how it works and what you need to do to make it work on your system. Once you've done that, you can activate it at any time. So it's fine to say you have Source Connect, even if you haven't activated your subscription yet. And yes, it could be in a subscription, or you can do a buyout if you hate subscriptions. But these are different ways you can work with it. And as long as when that session comes, you're ready to go, you're confident, you've practiced, and you know how to work it, you're off to the races. And it's the bigger gigs, the ones that pay the best, that use Source Connect, right? So thank you, Source Elements. Is that a good enough commercial?
Works for me.
Let us know. All right. You know how to find us. All right. Thanks. We'll be right back to talk more tech with our friends right after this.
You're still watching VOBS?
And we are back. Well, we're going to say goodbye for this segment anyway. Great guest. I mean, this is really what people need to hear. All of this really important information, and everybody overthinks their home studio. So it's good to have our good friends here to tell us what we actually need. Next week on this particular show, we will have, it's going to be Tech Talk number 68, I believe. And it's going to have all the same people that we have this week, because we're just going to record that. So if you're still here, hang out and watch it live. If you're watching this on Thursday, one, you're probably asleep after eating all that turkey and you're missing it all. But next week we'll have the second half of this as well. Who are our donors this week?
Oh, baby, listen to these names, because you've heard them before and you'll hear them again. Thank you to all of them. Shauna Pennington Baird.
Yes, Icon Productions.
That's right. We alternate on the second show. Sorry.
Yeah, that's
Don
Martha
Griffith. Khan,
yeah. Stephen Chandler.
Sandra Manwiller.
Robert Leadham.
And Antland.
Antland
Uncle
Productions.
Roy Productions, the guy who can't figure out how to cancel his membership, like my dad.
Shh, don't tell him that. Anyway, also join our mailing list. I think it's really important that if you get on there, you get a notification, hopefully when I remember, what we're going to be doing this week. And so you're reminded that you need to watch VoiceOver Body Shop. So keep doing that. We also need to thank our amazing sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements, makers of Source Connect,
VO Heroes,
VoiceActorWebsites.com, and
JMC Demos.
Our big thanks to Jeff Holman for keeping it together in the chat room, getting all those questions in. We want more questions, guys. We got more tech to come in Tech Talk, so don't go away. Get those questions in right now if you're watching live. And but thanks to Jeff Holman for doing a great job in the chat room, in Facebook and on YouTube. Sue Merlino, who's sitting there going, what are all these guys talking about?
She knows more than you think she knows.
I know. I don't know. So anyway, and Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. Well, you know, when it comes down to your home studio audio, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Yes.
Hey, you're watching live. Don't go anywhere. Have a great week, everybody.